This Deadly Choices Radio podcast is sponsored by Deadly Choices. A deadly choice is a healthy choice.
You're tuned to Deadly Choices Radio with your host, Sinead Clements.
Yes, that's right, you mob. Deadly Choices Radio on 98.9 FM for the best country. And I'm Sinead Clements, a proud Kalkadoon, Birra and Jitterbal woman from far north Queensland. And before we go ahead, I'd like to acknowledge and pay my respects to the elders, both past, present and emerging. So welcome to the Deadly Choices Radio, our hourly show dedicated towards mob making deadly choices. Remember that making deadly choices is all about eating healthy, remaining active in both body, mind and spirit, ensuring you keep up to date with your 715 health check, resisting any temptations to take up smoking or taking the right steps to quit smoking for you and your mob. So in the studio today, we're joined by our Birthing in Our Community staff members, Courtney, Beck and Sarah. We also have our Deadly Choices ambassador, Talisha Harden here. And later on, we'll have Dr. Richard Mills from the IUIH Institute, who will join us and give us a little update about COVID-19 and the vaccine rollout. So ladies, we'll start with you, Talisha, your mob, where you're from and what you do.
Yeah, so I'm Talisha Harden. My family's all from far north Queensland, Torres Strait, Argonne, so Badu Island, there's the island, everywhere up there. But yeah, with DC, I guess I've been an ambassador for a few years now and also work as a speech pathologist with the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health as well.
Yeah, deadly. And Courtney, your mob, where you're from and what you do in birthing in our community?
Yeah, so my name's Courtney Law. I'm a Woolly Woolly Waka Waka woman and from the Auburn and North Burnett region of Queensland. So I'm the program manager for Birthing in Our Community at Salisbury Hub, Mums and Bubs Hub.
Deadly. And Sarah?
Yeah, hi. My name's Sarah. I'm from northeast of Tennant Creek, Wombaya people, so, you know, Central Desert. And I'm a family support worker with Mums and Bubs.
And it's your second day of work, so yeah. Welcome on board, throwing you in the deep end with a bit of radio, huh?
Yeah.
And Beck?
Yeah, hi, I'm Beck Wadigo. I'm a Bunjalung woman, born on Yugambeh country, currently living on Quandamooka country. I'm also a family support worker at Biok.
Deadly.
That's me.
So Talisha, you know, you're coming off the back of a pretty big week. The Indigenous All-Stars wasn't the result you guys wanted, but it was deadly to see a lot of young girls get a bit more experience up there, up north in Townsville.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. It's like, even though we didn't get the win, I think we kind of said that we won the week. We had a really good week up there. You know, lots of different things happened in terms of, you know, cultural activities, had some local elders and traditional owners come in and speak, and we had some of the girls participate in workshops and things like that, which was really cool. And I think the average age of our team was like 20 or 21.
Wow.
So very fresh, very young, but all them girls have such a big future.
Yeah, and I guess that's what we're doing right now, right? Setting the platform for the next generation of young girls coming through and having a dig at rugby league.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's the thing is, you know, in a couple of years' time, those girls, they'll be the trailblazers, they'll be the leaders. So for them to have their first taste of rep footy coming up against a really good Māori side as well. So, you know, I was really proud of the effort they put in. I think we got better every single quarter. You know, and in that fourth quarter, we started to play some really good footy. And just unfortunately, you know, the result wasn't ours, and someone's got to win, someone's got to lose. But like I said, such a good week.
I mean, yeah, you're right. The Māori team was stacked. They had a lot of experience and size to their team. And tell me what it means to you as, you know, a woman from far north Queensland as well, like myself, who we want to see the girls up north kind of pick up the game. And now we've got teams up north. We've got the Golden Stars, I believe, joining into our BHP comp this year. What does it mean to you as the captain of the team to see rugby league expand with the women up north?
Oh, it's massive. It's huge. And even, you know, I had a bit of a look at that under-19s game on the weekend against, you know, Central Queensland. They played against the north team as well. It's just amazing to see the pathway develop. It flourished, resources and money be invested into footy from, you know, up north as well. Because I think, you know, being based in Brisbane, a lot of the time you get stuck in your own bubble and you forget, you know, how amazing footy is up north because you don't get to play against each other much. So you know, to have the women's sides from North Queensland, Central Queensland be a part of our BHP comp especially, I reckon it's going to be a massive tournament, and I think both teams will do really well.
Yeah, so speaking about rugby league, you know, we're heading into the BHP Billiton season this year. Last year, I think we only got one round in. This year, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I think, like you said, just seeing those girls from North Queensland and Central Queensland really get their shot, really get their opportunity to play against some of the Brisbane teams. You know, traditionally we've only really had that Brisbane comp, you know, expanding into the Gold Coast as well. So to have, you know, eight teams in the comp is going to be really, really cool. And like you said, last year we only got one round and then, you know, Corona kind of interrupted things. But I think it's just going to be a great tournament. Lots of young girls coming through and then a few old girls running around as well. So it's nice, I think, that blend of youth and experience and then, you know, girls trying to have a crack at getting into those higher levels of NRLW and, you know, whether it's a Southeast Queensland team as well or something like that.
Yeah, I know for me, you know, it's that social aspect of it and also passing on what we learned to the younger girls coming through is a big part of it. How's your prep season looked up? How's the body feeling?
Yeah, I'm getting a bit older now, so I have to whip out the stretch bands and the foam rollers and things.
Yeah.
That's probably my only advice to all them young girls is when you're, you know,
recover.
Oh my gosh, because when you get older, it's hard. But no, it's been good. We've got a pretty, I guess, structured approach to all our sessions, and I think that's the best thing about the women's game now too is everything's heading in that professional space. So, you know, you rock up, you're going through your warm-up, or you're doing gym, you're on the field, it's really structured, your training structured, everything's structured, and you've got that support, which is really nice too. So, yeah, like, what is it, 4 weeks until the comp starts?
Yep.
It's coming up fast. I think it's the first weekend after Easter.
After Easter, yep.
Then we're into it.
Yeah, so we get a little bit of break and then straight into it. I think who we got? I think we might have Rocky. So the Capras up in Central Queensland there, so versus West Panthers. So that's going to be exciting to see how that goes and see about Central Queensland Rugby League for women kind of kick off and start up. So NRL this year, this week, Rabbitohs versus Storms. Who you got?
Oh, it's a tough one. I think it's going to be a massive game. Rabbitohs have a pretty star-studded lineup, and then Melbourne are just that traditional, you know, professional outfit where they
clinical.
Know their structures, they're clinical. I'm still gonna back the Bunnies though. I reckon, you know, that trial against the Dragons the other week, they just showed so much class. Cody Walker,
Cody to Latrell.
Yeah,
how exciting is that combo?
Pretty deadly. They're awesome. Those boys. They're mad.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, we talked a lot about the women's game, and if you're just tuning in to Deadly Choices Radio, we're here with Talisha Harden having a yarn about women in league, and you know, it was International Women's Day yesterday. What does that day mean to you, particularly around, you know, a sport that's mostly tailored for men, but now we're trying to open those doors for the next generation?
Oh, it's massive. I had a read through Ali Brigginshaw. She did an article yesterday, and just how, you know, when you're younger, it's something that you wouldn't have even really thought about. But now as we've gotten older, I think she talks about writing her own rule book and things like that too, and going against the norm and you know, changing the narrative. And a lot of people refer to it, you know, I'm going to watch women's sport, or the women's footy's on, or, you know, women's this or women's that and things like that, whereas it's just sport, you know, or it's just a concert, or it's just this and that. It doesn't have to be defined in a male or female
gender, right?
Narrative. Yeah. So even little things like that, like, I think is massive. But I just love seeing all the positive affirmations and everyone getting behind each other on social media. And that's the thing too, is we always talk about extending these events and these days beyond the one day, and making sure that we're empowering women and working together each and every day. But, you know, on these days, I just love seeing all the social media content go out. Everyone gets creative and really behind each other, and I just love it. I'm on the phone the whole day just looking at all the different stories and things
like
that.
It's inspiring, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good. It's inspiring. That's probably the best word for it.
For me, just totally. It motivates me to keep pushing, and I think the theme is challenging the norm, or challenging the opportunities and whatnot like that. So it's exciting to see that diversity of women, potentially also women of colour too, you know, and our struggles and everything we have to go through, come out on top and just celebrate one another. It's an amazing day. So speaking about celebrating women, we have Courtney here who, from Birthing in Our Community, who's going to have a little bit of a yarn about what they do for our community here in Southeast Queensland. So, Courtney, what did you guys learn during 2020? I think it was a learning year for everybody. For me, it doesn't really count, but in the sense of we didn't get to do so much, but we learned so much by, I guess, shutting down a lot.
Yeah, so throughout the pandemic, I think that, you know, it really reiterated to us within the work that we do that, you know, our work doesn't stop, you know, whether it's in our professional or personal lives. And you know, we just continued that support and making our services more available to the women in our community.
Yeah, and I know I always see all the mums on my timeline who are pregnant, and I couldn't imagine the stress and just to keep yourself calm and keep yourself busy and occupied. International Women's Day, what do you guys have planned for International Women's Day?
So this Friday, we are joining a shared celebration with ANFPP South. We're having a celebration in a park at Goodna, so the Evan Marginson Park. So, you know, we'll be having, you know, and it's particularly special to me because my daughters will be doing the Welcome to Country the traditional owners for our celebration. And an acknowledgement for, you know, their grandmother and, you know, all the women who are involved in their life as well.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about Birthing in Our Community for those who don't know.
So Birthing in Our Community is a midwifery group practice. So, you know, the women coming through our program, they birth through the MARTA and, you know, we support women from what we do out in the hub within a social and emotional wellbeing space and, yeah, just supporting women throughout their antenatal and postnatal journey. And so the women, you know, have a NOD midwife that that clinically care for them and a family support worker that supports them along that journey as well.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, because, you know, it's never one thing, everything's interacted. Sarah, tell me a bit about, I know it's day two of your day of working with BIOC, but tell me a bit about your experience with Birthing in Our Community.
I was one of the mums that went through BIOC last year in, COVID time. So I had a little bub. She's just on 6 months now.
Wow.
The program for me and went through, it really just gave me that sense of security, I guess, and feeling... sometimes because we didn't know there was an unknown type feeling with the pandemic and worried, oh, should I birth at the hospital or birth at home?
Yep.
And just having that, you know, that family support worker or that midwife on the other end of the phone just to have a yarn with and just, you know, just yarn with. But I also found as well with the program from a client's perspective that they just showed me to that empowerment and making me feel strong as a woman.
Yep.
Because, yeah, that whole social emotional wellbeing piece.
Absolutely. And I think every time I've come over to the hub, it's a fun environment. Kids are running around everywhere. I love coming over and visiting. But absolutely, what you said about empowerment, that I feel like that's the heart of what you guys do and breaking those cycles. And when you fall pregnant, that's a really amazing opportunity to break cycles and break bad patterns that we all naturally have in our lives and to create a new life. Exactly. So, Beck, what do you love so much about the Birthing in Our Community program?
For me, again, you know, it's that empowerment of women. We, you know, help them through their journey of antenatally and postnatally. But being able to just enable them to say, hey, you can do this. I'm standing right beside you. Don't be ashamed. Don't be scared. You can do this, you've got this. And just showing them, yeah, they are a strong woman despite their challenges in life. That's what I love about the job.
And, Beck, exactly kind of what changes did you guys have to make during last year?
I only started in November.
So, oh, nice. Brand new.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Courtney, yeah, you could probably speak more to that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that, you know, for most of us, we were working from home.
Yes.
So we had to do a lot of online communication. However, you know, we still had to be that frontline support for our families and, you know, for those women who had to access the MATA hospital. So, you know, we still sort of actually had to increase our surface accessibility.
Wow.
A bit more. However, like, you know, working within the restrictions.
Mm-hmm. And I guess what did you learn from last year that you're looking to take forward to this year?
I think that, you know, probably for me it would be, you know, as I said before, it reiterated, you know, that, you know, the work that we do never stops.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, taking that and knowing that, you know, whatever challenge we can face or whatever challenge we do face, you know, we've got this, mm-hmm. we can do it. And, and I'm, you know, I'm a strong woman with my team at work, and you know, we're all women in our hub, and you know, we empower each other to do what we do best.
Mm. And I see that community days are back up, and you know, it's deadly to also see the dads come through and join in, and that whole family collective, because you know, we always talk about that holistic care. Mm. And what that looks like. What, you know, how do you guys utilize that idea that we need, you know, dads, uncles, aunties, grandparents all involved in, you know, it takes a village to raise our children. So what does BIOC do in that sense?
I think that's, you know, that's something that we bring from our personal life,
yeah.
and that we share within our hub environment, where you know, we are very family focused as, you know, as mothers ourselves. So you know, that's the part of ourselves that we bring to the job and share common ground with.
And I'd just like to add that the community days, that they're the days where I found, that, you know, we invite all families, not just mums that are having babies or going through the program. You know, I've noticed that there's mums, dads, aunties, uncles. We have, you know, healthy shared lunch, activities, that type of stuff. I think the community days really just not only them, welcome us as a community.
And you know, you'd know more about this too, Sarah, that idea of connecting through culture, I think, is in the community days are so important for our mothers. There's things like weaving and belly casting and all that sort of stuff. What was your favorite part about the community days?
Yeah, it was, is every time I went to a community day, that it was somewhat structured. It's good just to sit around and have a yarn, because that's it's good just to have your chat and stuff. But I found like days where we did some, you know, cultural art, and you know, telling our own story through art was one thing that we did. But it also, I went with my husband that day after little Bub was born, and you know, even he got involved. He didn't sit in the corner and was acting shame, because you know what I mean. He got involved because it was something that he felt that he could express.
Comfortable. It was a comfortable environment, right?
Yeah. So it wasn't just all women focused on them. Community days is about, obviously, community.
Yeah. And Beck, what are you looking forward to in this year coming up for the next, you know, journey into BIOC?
Yeah, I just continuing what I'm doing with the program. I absolutely adore my mums.
Mm-hmm.
So just, yeah, continuing to guide them along the way and empower them and get them to stand on, you know, you can do, and stand with them. They can do what they were born to do and be amazing mothers.
Absolutely.
And if, you know, if they need that support, them not being ashamed to ask and reach out for that support. So I'm looking forward to that.
And because Courtney, there's a lot of connection in within the services, right? You know, it's not just about Bub and Mum's health. You know, if Mum needs access to a new place, or they get their license or something that makes them a bit more independent and a bit more independent to look after their new baby, that's what you guys do as well, right?
Yeah, so pretty much the role of the family support worker is to, you know, support the mum with whatever, you know, with whatever their needs are, really. So, you know, we always say it's the mum's choice, so it's empowering them to make those choices. And, you know, we offer services within our program so that our mums can easily access those services. So, you know, fortnightly at Community Day, we have a diabetes educator and a dietitian that attends, to support our mums with healthy eating and, you know, making those right choices for themselves and for Bub.
Absolutely. And I guess, Courtney, while we have you, what's your deadly choice for this year or right now? What's your deadly choice?
My deadly choice is definitely raising strong women. So
that's a deadly choice for sure.
I have three daughters, so yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And Sarah, your deadly choice?
I did write it down, but then just sitting here and yarning with all you women, my deadly choice this year is to empower women as a whole.
Absolutely.
I think for me as a woman and our mob, like, I think you don't realise how unique we are as women, especially being Indigenous.
Yeah.
You're not just the mum, you're the auntie, you're the sister, you're the counsellor. You're everything. So, yeah, that's my deadly choice is to, empower women.
And I think that's such a huge job and there's so many things that you can talk about with that. But on the back of that, it's just taking it one day at a time. I'd created a vision board at the start of the year and I had like 10 to 15 things on it, and now there's like 4 or 5 just because it's too overwhelming, it was too much, and that's one of the things 2020 taught me, is just one thing at a time.
Yep.
Pick your first thing and go from there.
Yep.
Beck, what's your deadly choice for this year?
My deadly choice for this year is I've always made sure our health checks are kept up to date, so
yeah.
I've got me and my son at home, but this year I'm focusing a lot on my own mental health.
Absolutely.
Especially working in the role I'm in can be emotionally or mentally draining sometimes. So just focusing on my own mental health and reaching out if I need anything, that would be mine this year.
I love that. You know, I always say starts in woods and then it kind of trickles out woods, all of our health. So it's important that we look after our mental as well as our, you know, emotional and our physical well-being. Talisha, you always have to look after your physical well-being and mental well-being. What is your deadly choice right now?
Yeah, mine's changed a little bit too. At the start of the year, I think I wanted to get more sleep and, not have as much coffee, which was the big one. So, yeah, same. I'm still trying to cut down and still trying to sleep more and do little bits and pieces like that. But hearing, you know, Courtney, Beck and Sarah speak and just, I think they're so right. We wear so many different hats as women, and I totally admire, especially a lot of the girls who are playing footy and have to juggle, you know, work with kids and families, with, you know, being, the auntie or the sister or, you know, someone who their mob can depend on as well. So it can get so tricky. So I think as an added one, it's probably just to, lend a helping hand when I can, and then, take care of my own mental health as well, I think, yeah.
Yeah, we definitely have mothers in our team who Bub's sitting on the sideline with the iPhone or the iPad, and I just think credit to the kids because they're patient as well, but the mums and single mums making sure that they keep up to date with their social interaction with everyone and playing footy and also looking after that physical health just as much as their mental health is huge. But ladies, thank you for coming in and having a yarn, and hopefully we'll get you back in soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Petro Sivanasivi here, Deadly Choices Ambassador, and you're listening to DC Radio on 98.9 FM.
Which way are you, mob? You're back with the Deadly Choices radio show, and right now we've got Dr. Richard Mills from the Institute of Urban Indigenous Health, who's going to give us our weekly update on COVID-19. How you going, Dr. Richard?
Yeah, good, thanks, Sinead. Thanks very much for having me back on the show.
Yeah, it's always good to have a yarn, and most importantly, keep up to date with all our COVID-19 information. Now, can you give us a bit more information on what's going on these days and how the vaccine rollout is going to happen?
Yeah, so I suppose on the COVID front, there's still no COVID out in the community. Obviously, abroad, that's not the case. And we're still seeing really large numbers and an enormous amount of spread in other countries. We've still got lots of Australians sitting overseas trying to get back home. Many of them have been waiting many months and even years, over a year, to get back in the country. And we are seeing probably the people who are coming back and going into those quarantine hotels, probably an increase in the number of people who are bringing COVID with them, unfortunately. Our quarantine hotels are watertight, at least at the moment. And I think, you know, we've really got sound mechanisms now in place for ensuring that we don't have outbreaks coming into the community. We're quite well practiced now at the systems that help keep those places safe, both for the people who are staying there, working there, but also the broader community as well.
Yeah, it seems like we're getting better and better as we go. Now, the vaccine rollout, there's been a lot of news. We've got, we've seen a few, people getting their jab on TV. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I can tell you that the vaccine is coming, and we know that the first doses will be arriving in our Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Services in the week beginning the 22nd of March. I can't tell you the exact date when the vaccine is going to arrive, but it will be sometime during that that week. And yeah, it's a very exciting time. Everybody in our health services is currently doing their training. There's training for the people who are going to be delivering the vaccine, or actually, you know, giving the vaccine. That's very extensive training. You've probably heard on the news that it, you know, takes half a day to do that training. It sounds a long time to actually spend learning to put a needle in somebody's arm, but it's not just about the actual process of giving the needle, but also storing the vaccine, ensuring that all the relevant checks and informed consent and everything else is obtained. But, and then, so there's that group of workers, but there's also everybody else in our network who needs to be informed, needs who is going to be receiving questions and queries from clients as they come through the doors, and also obviously talking to friends and relatives about the vaccine. So we all need to have some level of knowledge about the vaccine and how it's going to be rolled out, and also be able to answer those questions that clients will come up with.
Yeah, it's so important. And I think the most, the biggest thing for me is just do your own research. But where can we go to get, safe and like qualified research, information about the vaccine?
Yeah, there are so many places to get information, and probably, you know, there's lots of places out there where the information isn't necessarily checked, or where people are putting out opinions rather than evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose in principle, really, the places to get your information are places where you trust the person who's giving it to you. And you're not really just receiving somebody's opinion or hearsay, but you're actually confident that they're giving you information that's based on fact. And being careful, particularly about social media, because all of that information is unchecked and pretty much unregulated as well. So people can put any opinion or anything up on social media that they want to. We've got our Deadly Choices Facebook page, of course. That's on social media, and all the information on there is checked and double checked, and also linked into a lot of the published information and information that's been produced through those international efforts to share knowledge and information about what's been learned in other countries during the course of the pandemic. So there are reliable sources to go for information. If you want to have a yarn and you've got specific questions, then a good starting point is going to be your local community controlled health service. So you can talk to your GP or your health worker or nurse. They're all in the process of getting themselves educated and knowledgeable about the vaccine. And of course, that's also the place to go to find out about how the vaccine will be rolled out locally. So I can tell you there's several different ways in which people can obtain the vaccine. Our GP respiratory clinics, formerly called the fever clinics, they're going to have a role in the vaccine rollout. And in fact, they're going to be delivering quite large numbers of vaccine doses. You're probably aware that those environments are scrupulously clean, both after every client goes through that environment, but also at the end of the day, there's a deep clean of the building, and then it's left overnight. And so the next morning, those environments are really super clean in order, and they provide a really good environment to have large numbers of people coming through and receiving the vaccine. And so we will have those GP respiratory clinics doing respiratory assessment still, but that will probably occur later in the day and after a period when those clinics have actually been delivering the vaccine. So the first part of the day will be devoted to vaccine delivery, and then after a period of an interval, then we will use them again for the respiratory assessment later in the afternoon. And then, of course, at the end of the day, the cleaning process happens again, and then overnight, the deep cleaning. So that's one way in which clients can get their vaccine, and it'll be available through those spaces by appointment, but also by walking in. And there'll be some targeting as well. So the government has said all along that the priority groups will be those who are most at risk of severe disease and death from COVID. And so we'll be focusing on those groups, sending out SMSs from your local health services, and you'll be receiving invitations to make an appointment either at your respiratory clinic, where we'll have that high throughput, and that's more suitable for people who are more able-bodied, but also people going to your local health service and having your vaccine in a kind of less mass vaccination environment, but more like as part of your routine care. And of course, if you're going for your health check, if you're going for your follow-up appointments, if you're visiting your GP or nurse or health worker as a matter of routine, then you'll also be offered the vaccine at that time as well.
Yeah, Deadly. So if you're just tuning in to Deadly Choices Radio, we're having a yarn today with Dr. Richard Mills, talking all things vaccine and COVID-19. So yeah, remember to keep up with your current health advice. You can go to the Deadly Choices Facebook page or the Queensland Health website. And also go to your GP. Your local GP is the best person to ask. And to start off with, just getting your information and getting the correct information is so important. So thank you, Dr. Mills, for coming on and having a yarn to us today.
Thanks very much for having you. Talk to you next time.
See you next time. And remember, you mob, to get involved in any of the Deadly Choices activities throughout the year or the ones coming up, you got to get your 715 health check. So there's some awesome Deadly Choices shirts hanging around at our local clinic. So go into your local community-controlled health clinic, book yourself a health check, and remember, preventative health is the way forward, and it's what we promote here all the time at Deadly Choices. Plus, you can tune into any of our Deadly Choices Facebook lives, our weekly live sessions. That includes Pearls of Wisdom with Steve Renoff. We've got Good Quick Tucker there with some deadly recipes, Deadly Kindies to keep the little jar jums busy. You've got DC Fit and so much more. Remember that lastly, our respiratory testing clinics in Southeast Queensland are still open. So if you're experiencing any COVID-19 symptoms, no matter how mild, call your clinic and book a test and find out more. You can find out where your local clinic is at www.deadlychoices.com.au. But thank you for tuning in this afternoon, and make sure you tune in next week, Wednesday, same time, same place, and keep making those deadly choices, you mob.
Deadly Choices Radio. A show encouraging mob to make healthy choices, from stop smoking, eating good food, exercising daily, and getting a health check for themselves and their family. Featuring Deadly Choices ambassadors, the Healthy Lifestyle Mob, and many more. So tune in to Deadly Choices after 6 p.m. each Wednesday and on demand at 989fm.com.au.
This Deadly Choices radio podcast is sponsored by Deadly Choices. A deadly choice is a healthy choice.